This is Scott Becker with Becker's Healthcare. I'm excited today to be joined by Bradley Dick. Bradley's the Vice President of Strategic Accounts at LK, spends his entire time in sort of the healthcare industry. Bradley, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you having me on. Today actually marks my 1 month from starting, as VP of Strategic Accounts at LK. Another role that I actually also do is a CIO advisory services. So I'm a CIO advisor for a startup called Elevation Health Consulting. And actually prior to that, which is how we first got introduced, I was a CIO for a large orthopedic practice out of Atlanta in the Surgeons Orthopedics.
Tell us what you're doing now at LK. What's the core role? What are the trends you see in health IT? Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now.
So my focus right now with LK is really around strategy and business development for especially in health systems and the acute setting. So really focusing mainly on the Southeast and working on partnerships with organizations to bring about the LK solution, which is primarily focused on interoperability and archives. So we have an extremely rich archive solution that can kind of across the gambit of a multitude of different systems that you can no longer have to support and have it a much better solution by archiving that data and putting it into our cloud that we can then, you know, have it integrated into the system.
And what's the transition like moving from working for a provider organization to a company in the healthcare ecosystem? What's that kind of transition feel like? How is that?
So it's a very interesting dynamic, you know, going from being the CIO to going to a role where you're, you know, now the goal is to work with CIOs on the other side of the table. So it's been humbling, which is good, because if you're humbled, you're learning something. It's been humbling to learn from people that have been doing this for a number of years. It's really opened my eyes up to, you know, some of the challenges, and you kind of, you know, something that we kind of take for granted when we're in the CIO role of the whole sales process. So that's been something very interesting, but at the same time, it's been very motivating, because there's a lot of focus around CIO now, and you know, I can bring that to the table. So for our organization, it's been very beneficial to be able to deliver that type of you know, internal knowledge, and that was part of the reason why I joined LK.
And what are some of the two or three of the biggest trends you're seeing in health IT today? What are the couple of the trends that you sort of see as an observer, as someone who was a CIO who's now on the business side? What are some of the big trends you see?
So I think one of the biggest, and what I like to call, is meaningful interoperability. And what I define that is contextual and relevant data at the point of care for the provider, you know, without having barriers. And, you know, that's really one of the big challenges. And I think we've been focusing on that for such a long time now. You know, it's been an iterative steps to get there. You know, we started off, you know, very basic. Everybody get on the electronic medical record system. Then let's do something with the electronic medical record system. Let's make sure everybody's putting all their orders in. And now let's get our documentation in. But the key thing is when you start, you know, connecting everything and having this, like, these subsets of data, you know, if you have the data needs to be relevant. Because I think, you know, one thing I say all the time was the only thing worse than not having the data is having so much data that you can't find the data that you need. And that's the key thing, is that when we do these interoperable solutions, you need to make sure that the data is relevant and you get it to the right, right at the point of care. Because if it's in another solution, they're not going to use it. If it's too intrusive, they're not going to use it. And that's coming from both the CIO side, when I was working with my providers at Resurgent, to now, you know, the interoperable solutions that we're working with on LK.
Fascinating. When you look at sort of your advice that you have for leaders, any specific piece of advice you have for leaders, and any leaders you particularly admire?
Okay, so let me tell you a story. I actually received some of the best advice professionally at a very early age, which was very lucky. I was an intern. I was all of 18 years old at Hughes Network Systems in their IT department. And my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, her grandfather was actually the founder, and he was currently the COO. He was taking me out to lunch, you know, like all good, I guess, you know, girlfriend grandfathers do. And I remember very candidly, I looked at him and, you know, with the naivete of an 18-year-old, I asked him, I said, why are you COO? Why are you not CEO? Why are you not, you know, chairman? You know, his current CEO, he wasn't even one of the founders. And he looked at me and smiled. And I mean, that conversation could have gone in two different directions. But, you know, the moral is that what he told me was, he's like, he looked at me and smiled and said, that's not what I do. I have an engineering background. Operations is where I excel at. He said, the secret to being successful is figure out what you do well and do it better than everybody else, but figure out what you don't do well and find the best people at it and surround yourself with those people. And I know it kind of sounds like a cliche, but it has been kind of the guiding principle in my career and one of the things that I've always followed.
Isn't that fantastic? And thank God you married the girlfriend, because yes, you'd have to sort of edit it a little bit to tell the story if it had been a different girlfriend when you were 18 than your wife today.
Yes, yes. I've actually been with my wife since she was 17, so we've been together a very long time. But I'm very fortunate to have had that opportunity and to, you know, he passed 2 years back, and he was always one of my big mentors. So he was a big fixture in my life.
No, it's a great piece of advice. Do what you do well and keep on doing it and do it better than anybody else. And the things you don't do well, find other people to do them. I think it's an absolutely great piece of advice, and we appreciate you sharing the story. Thank you. Is there a leader that you particularly admire? Is there someone that you particularly admire for their leadership and why?
Yeah. I think I'd been a CIO for maybe all of 6 months at the time. And AT&T flew me down to, they were doing a Salesforce training, but they were training their Salesforce on their health initiatives. And it was myself and a CIO for THR named Ed Marks, who is now, I think just about everybody knows Ed, but he is the CIO of Cleveland Clinic, and he's been through a few other places since then. But as everybody knows, CIOs love to talk. And especially on panels when we're just getting fired at questions and we want to, you know, communicate because we really want to help and we really want to, enable, you know, the partners to really understand so they can, you know, provide better solutions. And it was me and Ed Marks on the stage. And I pretty much almost tuned out and I was almost in the audience because he was so captivating. And everything that he said, I remember in that moment, I was like, that is what I want to be as a CIO. That is the type of person that I want to be. He was, you know, very supportive of his team. I've known Ed for, I guess, since then. That was probably about 12 years ago or so. And he makes himself available. He shares both personally and professionally. He's just been a real pillar of the CIO community. So I could go on, but when I think of the personification of a healthcare CIO, I think of Ed, and he's been a great inspiration to me.
Well, that's fantastic, and thank you very much for sharing that about Ed. I do agree with you in your assessment of Ed Marks, and thank you for sharing. One final question. You know, through the course of a career, you've been in a great spot, a great area. You've worked with great people. How do you keep yourself motivated? How do you stay excited about what you do and motivated and so forth through, you know, day in, day out, year in, year out, and over the course of decades of a professional career?
Yeah. So, I mean, my career has spanned over two decades now. And, you know, I think it really comes down to three things. And one, just like you said at the beginning, you know, surrounding myself with the best people possible, you know, especially the ones that challenge me, because the ones that challenge me are going to make me grow. The second thing is I do a great deal of training. I love triathlons. This morning I was running track at 5:30 in the morning. I find swimming, even though I'm horrible at it, is a great way to kind of get the white noise and just muscle memory and just think through your problems and kind of, that's my yoga, that's my zen. And then I think, you know, the most important is your family. You know, really, you know, to be able to kind of spend time with them, to have the connection with them. That's something that's, I think, sometimes overlooked, how important to have the connection with their kids, your wife, or spouse. That's what motivates me in the morning. When I get up in the morning and I go and I see my kids and I drive them to school and all that stuff, I mean, that's about as motivating as it gets.
Well, that's fantastic. All of those reasons, the constant learning, the engagement with people, the exercise, the running, the swimming, whether Mark Spitz or not, loving the swimming, I'm aging myself and using that reference, and then your family, what could be better than that? So, Brad, just a pleasure visiting with you today. Thank you so much. If people want to meet you or visit with you, how do they get in touch with you? How do they find you? Can they find you on LinkedIn? How can people find Brad Wiedeck?
Oh, well, yeah, they can definitely find me on LinkedIn. I try to be very active on LinkedIn and be meaningfully active, so not just posting stuff. I like to find relevant information. And they can also just email me at bradley.dick@lk.com if you're interested in learning more.
And LK is ELLKAY.com.
Yep, that is correct. It actually, I had to learn this. It's actually the phonetical names of our two founders. So it's Lior and Kamal. So that's LK.
Got it. Who knew? Well, thank you so much, Bradley. What a pleasure to get a chance to visit with you again today. I know I had a chance to visit with you on a webinar several months ago, and just always a pleasure to talk to you and always inspiring. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott. I really appreciate it.